If you would, pull a sermon guide out of your bulletin. Also, we are planning to take the Lord's Supper, should I remember. I hope I will. There's a lot on my mind. There's a lot to cover. I need for you all to take the rest of the day off. Wait, we got Bucks coming up later today. Anyway, we can come back after the game. let's get into it. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for this privilege to be able to gather today, and we thank you for the privilege to worship in song, as well the privilege to worship through your word. We do ask that you'd speak to our hearts. We would know you better, know your will better for our lives in society, that you would conform us and transform us more and more into the image of Christ, and that you'd guide us in our evangelism in this society in which you've placed us, along with Global Witness and its support. Thank you for your amazing grace to us today. Thank you for the gospel, the good news. Jesus, thank you for paying the penalty of every thought, word, and action that does not line up with your law that we've ever had, ever will have, along with those things that we're not doing, saying, and thinking according to your law that we should. Thank you for being punished in our place for every act of rebellion against your law, every sin we've ever committed, ever will, as we trust Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we look forward to celebrating this in the Lord's Supper following this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, pull out your sermon guide if you would. We are in a series going through the New Testament, a very long series, year after year after year, working our way through the New Testament, take a little bit of time off for special events, but for the most part, just chronologically, phrase by phrase, working our way through the New Testament. We are in the book of Colossians. And most of the way through it, we're in chapter 4 today, and this is finishing up the last four points. We won't get through all of them today. We're late getting started. But nonetheless, we are going through how to win in this victorious life that the Lord has given to us. Victory is assured via chapter 1 and chapter 2, and yet we come into battles during this life, and we want to be prepared for every battle and know God's will and God's way in each battle. And so as we move to chapter 4, verse 2 and following, we're moving from the family and work now into the rest of society, seems like to me. All right, so this is chapter 4, verse 2 and following, where we find ourselves today. And kind of just a summary of where we're going. Number 22 in this victorious life, we need to be praying alertly as we live life in society. Number 23, we need to be witnessing clearly. Number 24, we need to be acting wisely. And number 25, we need to be speaking graciously. Yeah, we'll talk about those later, should the Lord tarry. And we're still standing after this week. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 2 and following. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear the way that I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to every person. All right, so back in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. First topic we're going to be looking at, and how to live life in society in a victorious way. Devote yourselves to prayer. Prayer. When you think of the word prayer, what do you think of? If you're like most of us, you think of conviction. Like, I know I need to, but I'm not spending what I ought to need to spend in prayer. And that's probably where most of us end up. It's just another topic of, oh, man, do we got to talk about this? And the reason probably that most of us pragmatic American males and females perhaps as well don't spend the time with God as we should, the time focused on God as we should, is because we all say prayer works. But when we go home, we all think, or many of us think, prayer doesn't really work. If it worked really, really well, I'd spend a lot of time in it, because I got a lot of stuff I want to see changed. And if God would oblige me and do that, I'd be spending time with Him. And you can go online, of course, everything you believe online, go for it, you know. And you got all these, pray this prayer instantly. I mean, within the day, God will, you know, you got all of this stuff online, how prayer works. And so I got a question for you. Are you believing the you that in Christian circles, a little while later, you know, in life group, you'll say, prayer works. But then you go home, and in your heart, we're going, yeah, but not very well. Right? Okay, y'all identifying with me? Y'all been trying to be spiritual now. The camera's on me, not on you, okay? Of course, today you never know where cameras are. We're going to start filming both directions, I think, one day, all right? So that's where we are. So let's just take that little phrase. We're going to camp on this phrase today. Prayer works. What is prayer? I don't really like the statement, say a prayer. That's like, say a statement to my wife. I go home and say a statement. I mean, I go home and I do what with my wife? I converse with my wife. I come here, I converse with you. I don't say something unless I got a document or something. You know, so this whole thing of say a prayer, even the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, you know, pray in this fashion. The Lord's Prayer is really a six-point, depends on how you count it, basically a six-point outline of stuff that God wants to talk about. But it's not to be said, I mean, and right after that, he says, don't be using vain repetition. Don't be just be saying stuff in a meaningless, vain way, especially over and over again. All right, so if you're in that practice, please knock it off. That's Matthew chapter 6. So we don't say a prayer. We don't read a prayer, even the prayer of Jabez. What we want, and that we want to read recordings of how the people in the Bible spoke to God, and from those are inspired, we want to learn about the stuff that God wants to talk about in the way that He wants to talk about it. We can learn from the, quote, prayers recorded in the Bible, almost all of them, no doubt, outlines of what was being spoken to God. So prayer is, in real simple terms, it's just conversation with God. But we're talking to God, our Father, on the one hand. Hallowed be your name. That's a request. May your name be made set apart, holy, as I think about your name, as I manifest you to other people. So on the one hand, you are Father, which today means goofy. Back in the day, though, I didn't mean goofy. It meant that was a guy you deeply respected, whether you liked him or not. All right, today it's just the goofball. But back in the day, it wasn't the goof, but that was a guy who owed deep honor and respect. Sad thing, we've kind of lost that today. Our Father, but you're in heaven, and you have a better perspective than us. Hallowed be your name. All right? So prayer is conversation, though, with God. If you want to know how to, if you want to know the stuff that God wants to talk about, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 would be a great place to go. So back to our expression, not found in the Bible, but something we say a lot. Prayer works. So prayer is conversation with God. Listening and speaking, mostly listening. Prayer is conversation with God. Prayer works. Well, what does that mean? What does works mean? Typically, when I hear prayer works, I think, if that's true, I got a bunch of stuff I want to see accomplished. And that's what I mean by works, right? Get it done. Just knock it. I got my list, all the stuff that needs to be changed. Man, it needs to get done, okay? So prayer works. That's typically how we approach it. My question in this little prayer series, which we'll see how far we get today, because I've already taken way too long on the introduction as normal. Y'all need to listen a lot faster, okay? I blame it really on you primarily. We're going to take a look at, today, we're going to take a look at Paul as an example, and we're going to take a look at his prayer life from Acts chapter 20 to Acts chapter 28. 28 is the last chapter in the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church in 20 through 28, kind of focuses on Paul. And these letters, these four letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, were written during Acts 28, all right? So we're going to take a look at the four letters. We're going to take a look at the book of Acts. Don't worry, this is not a year thing. We'll be able to complete this in a sermon and a half. We'll see, okay? Depends on how fast you listen. All right, and we're going to see what Paul's requesting prayer in the passage we looked at. So evidently, Paul thinks prayer works, or he wouldn't be requesting it. He's not just some religious guy, okay? All right, but if Paul heard the expression prayer works, how would he define the word works? That's what we want to look at today. Conversation with God works. What does it mean that it works? What does God want to talk about? So let's learn from Paul in this period of time in which we've been living with him for the last, whatever it's been, a year or so. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 again. Devote yourselves to prayer. That first word, devote, is a word of constant attention. Devotion, constant attention. That's kind of a literal Greek rendering. Pay constant attention to prayer, to talking to God. In other words, focus on God all the time. Doesn't mean you have to be babbling all the time. Most of prayer is doing what? Walking in the Spirit, walking in the presence of God, listening. Large majority of prayer is just knowing God's present. Just listening for that still inner voice. You say, is that my conscience or is that God? If it lines up with the word, you're golden, okay? And so you want to be listening for the voice of God, the guidance of God, especially in regard to stuff he wants to talk about, moral stuff, ministerial stuff, all your waking hours. You wake up focusing on God. So that's devotion to prayer. You can have those special times of prayer as well, daily or even more than once a day. That's wonderful, but all day long, we're focused on God, all right? Next phrase, keeping alert in it. It kind of reminds you of Gethsemane, right? Jesus said to the disciples, this is right before he's going to be arrested and going to the cross, he said to the disciples, some heavy stuff's fixing to come down the pike. I want you to watch and pray, lest what? You be swept away into wrong attitudes, thoughts, and actions, okay? So I want you to watch and pray. Be watchful in prayer. Make sure you're tuned into God. Some heavy stuff's coming down. Boys, you'll be fine if you're tuned in, if you're dialed into God, all right? That's what he's saying. So he's saying the same thing to us all day long, every day. Satan is out to, we are spirit. The satanic realm, we don't know where Satan himself is, but there's demons everywhere. We are spirit, they are spirit, angels are spirit, God is spirit, and there's conversation in the spirit realm. And so it's like with what's his name? Peter, on the Matthew 16. On the one hand, who am I? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the next phrase is, you're never going to go to the cross. I mean, that's not going to happen. The first one, you know, you heard from God. The second expression is you heard from Satan. You know, you got to sort out the two, which one lines up with Scripture. So even Peter was able to hear from God, and then the next moment he's being influenced by Satan himself. Okay, got to be careful with that. Okay, so it's not every voice that we're not into spiritual stuff. Okay, that's Oprah and all that stuff. Okay, we are into listening to God. How do we know it's God? The voice lines up with the Word of God. Yeah, but I really like this young chickadee, and God wants me to be happy, and I'm married, but I can you know, get a divorce and get with her, and I'll be happy, and God will be happy. No, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the young chickadee. No, that's the voice of Satan, all right? So we're always careful with in regard to stuff like that. All right, chapter 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. And a lot of prayer is just staying alert, asking God to speak to our heart, to guide us with an attitude of thanksgiving. Where's Paul when he writes this? Imprisoned. How long has he been imprisoned? 2 years in Caesarea, and then a really tough ship journey to Rome, and then imprisoned upwards of about 2 years in Rome, if our history serves us correctly. And so this is sometime during that period. So it's more than 2 years he's been in prison. He's facing the death penalty. He's not doing, he wants to go to Spain. He's not able to do that and move on and plant more churches. He's stuck. And what's this thing of thanksgiving? How does that work? We're just going to, as we go through, what I want you to do as we go through, just mark certain things that really attract your attention. What's he talking about here? He's talking about devotion to prayer. He's talking about staying alert. And he's talking about an attitude of thanksgiving. Even though he's incarcerated, he's thankful. He wants them to be thankful. What's it? It's a choice. Choosing to count the blessings of God. Choosing to count the presence of God. Next verse, 3, praying at the same time for us as well. So evidently, Paul is trusting that God has a plan for prayer, because he doesn't just say religious stuff. So evidently, he's believing that prayer works. Well, what do we mean by that? Or he wouldn't make the request. Pray for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word. Not sure what he means by that, but I think what he means by that is he wants Caesar and everybody else. There's a bunch of guards that are trusting Christ by now, but he wants Caesar and everybody else to hear the gospel. And so there's some folks that have heard. Not everybody's heard in the palace and in Rome and in the general area. So I want more opportunity to share the word, the gospel. So that, and that might be also the word of, let's move on. It might be also sharing with some Jewish folks who kind of sort of believe that we see in Acts chapter 28. But anyway, let's move on. So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. We're going to celebrate the mystery of Christ in just a little while. What's the mystery of Christ? Christ, the Messiah, God incarnate, referred to in the Old Testament, but kind of like we don't really get it. He's going to be suffering. He's going to die. He's going to be the eternal king. How do we put all that together? Kind of don't get the whole person of the Christ. And so he's called a mystery, but now in the New Testament, it's been totally put together, this mystery. And you can read more about that in this letter, as well as Ephesians chapter 3 is a great place to read on the mystery of Christ. He spells it out clearly, that Jews and Gentiles are all one, united in Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned. The Jewish people didn't want to hear that. And he also makes this note, for which I've been imprisoned. Now, hold on a second. If prayer works, why is he still in prison? I thought prayer worked. What's he doing in prison? Been in prison for a long time. And he even mentions in Philippians, written the same time as this, that he's facing the death penalty, he might die. But I thought prayer worked. What's up with this? Evidently, he thinks prayer works because he's requesting prayer. In order that I may make it clear the way I ought to speak, I want to share the gospel. I want more opportunities to share the gospel. I am asking you to pray that God would give me more opportunities to share the gospel. What's his request? He wants to share the gospel. That's his request. All right? So let's do this little study, or at least let's begin, if we could, this little study. Where we're going to begin is in Romans chapter 15, because Romans 15 sets it up. I'm going to send you home probably with homework to read through the whole book of Ephesians, and just wherever prayer is mentioned, just hone in on that paragraph or a few verses. And then Philippians, the same way, hone in wherever prayer is mentioned. See, learn how to pray from the examples that Paul has set. And then this book, Colossians, and then Philemon. All right, those are the four letters written at this time. But to be able to understand these letters, to be able to do your homework, and don't come back and tell me the dog ate it. I want you to do your homework. We're going to put it together next time, if there is a next time. All right? Romans chapter 15, verse 28. And that's the first passage you have, I believe, on your outline. Romans 15 and verse 28. This is context for all four books. He's writing to the church in Rome. Hadn't been there yet, but there's a church there, and he's writing to this church. I will go on by way of you to Spain. So planning to go to Spain. Here's the plan. He's already talked about in Romans. I'm in Greece right now. He didn't say that, but we kind of know he's in Greece. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And then after I go to Jerusalem to do some ministry with the poor saints there, then I'm going to go back the 1,000 miles and another 500 miles all the way back here and then to Spain. Okay? So I'm traveling a long way. I'm going to go to Jerusalem first and then pass by here, pass by you, stop by for a few minutes on my way to Spain or a few days or a few weeks, whatever. All right? Verse 28, that's the plan. Simple plan. And I know, notice the words, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Well, okay, he believes in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Therefore, why would he make request in prayer? If he's traveling in the fullness of the blessing of Christ, enough said. Let's pray. Let's move on. Let's pray for something else. But he goes on to say this. Now, I urge you, brothers. And then he puts these two phrases in like he's like really, really serious. Through or by our Lord Jesus Christ and through or by the love of the Spirit. In other words, he's calling the Lord Jesus Christ. He's calling the Spirit into their mind to go. I'm asking you as if in the presence of these to, what is this request? Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive, that's had my attention now for weeks. And I wish I could, I'm going to attempt to explain what that means maybe next time we get together. Strive. Have you ever, it's agonizomai, from which we get agony. Yeah. And we're going to see it a few other times. Have you ever agonized for anyone in prayer? Terry, has this church ever agonized for the folks in Indonesia? Any of the people groups, as we get to know your people group, will God mature us to a place where we agonize for them in prayer? If so, what are we asking for? Steve, have we agonized for folks in North India? Has God ever brought us to that? What is it to reach that place? This has been my number one theological thought for weeks and weeks now. What is it to agonize in prayer? And for what are we to agonize? So strive together or agonize together with me in your prayers to God for me. But I thought you were in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Well, yeah, I am. And nonetheless, I want you to not just pray for me a quick prayer. I want you to agonize with me in prayer. Three things. That I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea. But I thought you're under the blessing, the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Why would you fret about people being disobedient and doing you damage and arresting you and bad stuff happening to you? And that my service, my ministry, for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. So I'm going to minister to the Christians that are there, the poor Christians. I want to bring them an offering with some other guys and minister to them personally and pray with them, love on them, teach them, whatever. You know, go through their hardship together with them for a while. And then I may come to you in joy by the will of God. That's an important expression. That's a huge expression as we read through the prayers of Paul. By the will of God. I thought prayer was about our will. If prayer works, prayer is getting across to God our will so that He changes stuff. And if we are able to change God's will, then prayer works. Why are we going to see this as a number one? Listen to me when you do your study at home. Why are we going to see the will of God as the number one phrase to come up in your study as we pray for ourselves, for other people? Why? What's up with that? That doesn't make any sense. I thought prayer worked in getting our will done, right? And so here he's writing to them that they would agonize for him, that he'd be delivered, that they would agonize, that the ministry would be really effective in building up the body, and that they would agonize that he would be able to come to them in joy. And that expression, enjoy, you're going to see that a lot also, by the will of God, and find refreshing rest in your company. Now, what ended up happening? Some of you know. What happens from here, Acts chapter 20 and following, is he's going to meet some prophets that are in prayer on the way as he's traveling from Greece to Jerusalem. He's going to meet a bunch of prophets in different cities on the way, and they're all going to be unified in this one statement. When you go, bonds and afflictions await you. That's what's going to happen. You're going to make it to Jerusalem, but you're going to end up being hurt bad and locked up. Okay, that's what's going to happen. He goes anyway. It's crazy. If you think prayer works, it ought to go out down different than that. He goes to Jerusalem. He is arrested. He's nearly killed, but by the grace of God, it's an intervention, and he makes it. He spends 2 years imprisoned in Caesarea, a little ways outside of Jerusalem. 2 years, nothing going on. He said this one word from God going, you're going to make it to Rome. But besides that, it's like, when? How? How painful is it going to be? It's already been painful. And then he gets on a ship, and big storm comes, and they're all going to die. But God, by his grace, guides that ship to that perfect little dot, and they make it. And God's told him, you're going to make it to Rome. And he does. And some healings go on. So he's a little bit of prayer going on there because of healings. Makes it to Rome. He's in prison now. In Rome, he's incarcerated. It's been 2 years plus the ship journey plus another many months, year, 2 years. I mean, we don't know. He's still incarcerated. He's facing the death penalty. And here he's requesting prayer. Paul, does prayer work? And his response would be what? Absolutely. It is our life. Living in the presence of God is life itself. When we talk about prayer working, you'll figure it out as you read the four letters. We'll put it together next time. We're going to go to the Lord's Supper right now. We're not done, okay? We'll put it together next time. You'll put it together before you ever get here. And we're going to find out that Paul has a lot to say about prayer and how prayer works. It's just a lot different than what we commonly mean by prayer works. You know what I'm talking about. Last illustration. In comes a person. Maybe they're not here now. Give them a lot of grace, please. You know, in comes a person in the life group. They didn't make this gathering, but they make the life, you know. And prayer works. I have an uncle that had cancer, and they're no more cancer.
Prayer works. And that's good. And we rejoice with that person. And we pray in regard to cancer. And we pray in regard to financial problems and physical problems. And we'll pray for safe travel to India. And we will pray for Terry and V to just enjoy the fullness of God here and be incredibly effective there. And all of these things, we pray for the miraculous. We ask God for the miraculous. But when we say prayer works, let's be really careful to take into account how prayer worked for Paul at this particular time. Okay? We want to be mature believers in this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great privilege to pray, to know fellowship with you, to walk in your presence, to feel your voice on the inside of our hearts, to feel your guidance, your conviction where we're straying, and your guidance on the right path, and the privilege to have you work in such a way on the inside as to mature us into the image of Christ and to grow us in our knowledge of you and your will. And Father, we pray the ultimate prayer of faith that you supernaturally, because that's what it's got to be, would wean us from our will to your will. And that we would be a people more and more and more focused on your will and tuned into your will. Work, Father, we pray, work that miracle in us. And in the process of all that, growing us into the image of Christ, and in the process of all that, guiding us to be more and more powerful witnesses on this planet, here and to the remote areas, spiritually speaking. Thank you for grace in all of this. Thank you for the privilege to celebrate your goodness in the Lord's Supper. And friend, if you would, if you're not trusting Christ right now, we plead with you to do so. If you do so, then we invite you to take the Lord's Supper. If not, it would be wise for you to abstain. This is a celebration for believers who are trusting in Christ. And as believers, we come before you and we ask you to speak to our heart. If there's any waywardness in us, we want to ask for forgiveness. If there's anything we haven't asked for forgiveness for, we want to ask for forgiveness. We just want to get a clean account with you. We know that having trusted Christ, you've already forgiven us. But it's right and it's good in this relationship to agree with you about our sin. And so guide us, convict us, guide us in turning. Help us to end up with a clean slate practically before you. If you would, just pray quietly. Nobody pray out loud. Just pray quietly before the Lord and ask Him to work in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for this privilege to walk with you, and a big part of that is just all day long, every day, just apologizing regarding our wayward thoughts and certainly our actions and words. Thank you for total forgiveness even before we ask, because of you paying the penalty of our sin on your body on the cross, which we celebrate in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, take the cup, and there's some cellophane on the top of it, and it will reveal, if you pull that back, it will reveal the wafer. And take the wafer in your hand, if you would. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you.
Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. So plainly, we are to remember Christ taking our sins on his body on that cross. So as you picture in the best way you can in your mind, Jesus like a sponge absorbing every thought, word, and action that you've ever committed that are not in line with God's law, along with all the stuff you should be doing, saying, and thinking that it is in God's law that you haven't been. And so as you take the bread, picture Christ absorbing your sin. You may take the bread. The Lord Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant made in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The new covenant. God can speak, and he's never told a lie, and it's accurate. But because of our tendency to doubt, God has put a few things in covenant form. So we know that we know that God's telling us the truth, I guess. And God says, as part of this covenant, Jeremiah 31, repeated again in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, as part of this covenant, your sin, when you trust Christ, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. In covenant form, God says, I'll never, ever bring up your sins, which is the same thing as saying, I'll never bring up your lawless deeds ever again. Ever again. Now, eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, never again. As you think about your total forgiveness in covenant form, the blood of God in humanness poured out for you, you may take the cup. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great grace that we have celebrated, that we enjoy every minute of every day. Total forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the gospel and the privilege for all of us, no matter what we've done, where we've been, who we are, all of us, to be on equal footing with you at the base of the cross. Total forgiveness of sin as we trust Christ. And a brand new life every day with total forgiveness. All and only because of Christ and the cross. Amen and amen. This area is open if you want prayer regarding anything. Come on down. Again, if you weren't here earlier, you need help with hurricane preparation. Not that it's going to hit here. Or your neighbor does or whatever, please give us a call. If you'd like to volunteer to help others with hurricane preparation, give us a call. Be ready to serve somewhere if this thing doesn't fizzle out, though we are praying that it does. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.